Okay.
We are holding on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, the second to last line of the narrow lines, about two dots. We're setting aside the Dinim of Hanukkah for right now and going back to something in the Mishnah, and then we're going to resume with the Dinim of Hanukkah. We'll talk about soon, Bez Hashem, Tosfos asks the question, and the Rashba answers why the Gemara does that, why it doesn't just finish up with all the Dinim of Hanukkah, why it interjects something from the Mishnah in between. But that's where we're holding, is the Loi B'Shem and Tzirei of the Chola, near the end of Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, as I said, second to last line of the narrow line. So the Mishnah says, for Loi B'Shem and Tzirei of the Chola, another thing that you're not allowed to light Shabbos candles with is shemen sreifa, oil that needs to be burnt. So my shemen sreifa, what is shemen sreifa? Amar Rabba, shemen shel truma shenitma. So Rabba says it means oil of truma that became tamei. By my korol shemen sreifa. So why is it called shemen sreifa, oil that's to be burnt? Oil of sreifa oimid, because the only thing, because you can't eat it, since it's truma that's tamei, you can't eat it. The only thing you can do is burn it. The only thing you can do with it is burn it, and therefore it's called shemen sreifa, oil that is designated for burning. So the Shabbos, my time alone. So why shouldn't you be able to light Shabbos candles with it? I mean, if you're allowed to burn it, we're talking a koyin, let's say, fine. And Yisrael maybe is not allowed to use it because truma is also bahana for him. But why shouldn't a koyin be able to use it for Shabbos candles? The reason is Rabbi says the toch shem mitzvah all of levaroi, since, as we're saying, with a mitzvah to burn it, later on we're going to discuss the exact details. Most of that we'll deal with on Daf Chafei, that's the Shem, that there is a mitzvah to burn truma, to burn truma that's tameh, and that you're allowed to have an offering. But given that you have that mitzvah to burn it, gzeira shema yata. So Rabbi says the Chachamim made a gzeira, don't use it for Shabbos candles, because you may end up tilting the candle in order to make it burn faster. We learned at the beginning of the Perek the reason why, well, we said there that in general, the various wicks and oils that I mentioned in the Mishnah, we said most of them don't burn well. And Rashi had learned that in general, the reason by all of them is Shema Yata. Given that they don't burn well, the fire flickers, there's flame flickers around, the oil doesn't get drawn up into the wick properly, therefore you may tilt it to make it burn better, and that would be also on Shabbos. So the same thing. So Rashi says that in general that applies to all the wicks and oils in that Mishnah. Rabbi's saying specifically over here it refers to Shemen Tzreifa. This oil over here, we're afraid you may tilt the lamp on Shabbos in order to make it burn properly, because you have a mitzvah to burn it, so you want it to be done as fast as possible. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya asks Rabba, Elame Asa, by that logic, if you're telling me that the reason is because you might tilt it, well then, the Yomtiv Tishtiri, the Yomtiv Lishtiri, then on Yomtiv it ought to be Mutter, because after all, on Yomtiv, if you tilt the candle, there's no problem, you're allowed to do that on Yomtiv, so therefore you should be able to use Shemen Tzreifa for lighting Yomtiv candles. Alamatnan, in that case, why do we learn in the next Mishnah, Ein Madlikin B'Shemen Tzreifa B'Yomtiv, that you're not allowed to use it on Yomtiv. So if the reason is Shema Yata, then you shouldn't be using it on Yomtiv either. I mean, you should be able to use it on Yomtiv. The answer is Gzeira Yomtiv Otu Shabbos. The answer is Rabbi would answer that, fine, you're not allowed to do it. The Chacham didn't allow you to use it on Yomtiv, because if you use it on Yomtiv, then you might come to use it on Shabbos. And as we said, the problem on Shabbos is Shema Yata. So Tosfos asks, isn't that Gzeira L'Gzeira? Isn't that a Gzeira on top of another Gzeira? And the answer is, Tosfos says that generally speaking, other things being equal, we usually say that Shabbos and Yom Tov are on the same level. Most of the time, what's also on Shabbos is also on Yom Tov, with certain exceptions, of course, because you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, you're allowed to carry on Yom Tov, etc. But in general, whatever is also on Shabbos is also on Yom Tov. So therefore, if we're going to say that it's also on Shabbos, then automatically it's going to be also on Yom Tov as well. So the next Mishnah says it's also on Yom Tov, even though you're right, maybe the reason per se doesn't apply, but we're going to say that it does apply to all Shabbos. And then once it applies to Shabbos, then it's going to apply on Yom Tov, unless the Chachamim explicitly excluded it, which Rabbi says they didn't in this case. Okay. Fine. So that's all one reason. Rav Chista Omer, Rav Chista says a different reason. L'shemer yaseh lo yichashinan. No, Rav Chista says, we're not worried about this business of shemer yaseh, that he might adjust or tilt or whatever the lamp in order to make it burn properly. That's not the reason why you're not allowed to burn shemen sreifa before that, Tosfos points out another thing also. In that case, now the implication seems to be from the next Mishnah that you're not allowed to use shemen sreifa on Yom Tov, but you're allowed to use all the various other wicks and oils that it mentioned in our Mishnah, that you would be allowed to use them for Yom Tov candles. So why should that be? If we're going to say that in general, Shabbos and Yom Tov are the same thing, and whatever is also on Shabbos is also on Yom Tov, why is it that only Shemen Sreifa would be also on Yom Tov according to Rabba, and the other wicks and oils not? Why, if we still keep the thing of Shemen Yaseh, and we're saying it applies on Yom Tov to Shemen Sreifa, even though it really doesn't apply, because you are allowed to kill it on Yom Tov, why shouldn't it apply to the other wicks and oils as well? And the answer is, Tosfos says, and actually what it is like this. With the other wicks and oils, the other wicks and oils, if you use them on Yom Tov, and you know that on Yom Tov you're allowed to tilt the lamp to make them burn better, okay, that's not going to lead you to use them on Shabbos as well, because you're going to realize there's an obvious difference. You're allowed to do that on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Therefore, that creates an obvious distinction why you should be allowed to use them on Yom Tov, not on Shabbos. But Shemen Sefer, given that it is, after all, oil, it's olive oil, it burns just like any other olive oil. I mean, the only reason why it has a different status is a matter of halacha, not a matter of practicality that it's a different kind of oil. So therefore, if you were to use it on Yom Tov, Rabbah says, you might come to use it on Shabbos as well, and then that would be the problem because Shemen Yaseh. So that explains the difference. Tosfos says why it is the other wicks and oils you are allowed to use on Yom Tov, and only Shemen Sreifa was saying that you can't. Okay. Anyway, so that's all one reason. That's all one explanation of our Mishnah. We're talking every Shabbos. So every Shabbos and every Yom Tov, you're not allowed to use Shemen Sreifa because of this problem of Shemen Yaseh. Rav Chista Amar, continues the Gemara, Rav Chista Amar l'Shemen Yaseh lo yichashinan. No, we're not concerned about the Shemen Yaseh. We're not worried about this idea that you might tilt it in order to make it burn faster. Yes, you have a mitzvah to burn it. That doesn't mean you're necessarily going to adjust it in order to make it burn faster. Rather, Rav Chista says, specifically on Mishnah, when it says you're not allowed to use Shemen Sreifa, it's talking not just any Erev Shabbos. It means when Yom Tov comes out on Erev Shabbos. And the reason is, Lafisha in Sofit Kodshim Yom Tov, the reason is, because as we're going to discuss later on, you're not allowed to burn Kodshim on Yom Tov. And when we say Kodshim, the Rav Chista assumes that it means not only Kodshim, but it means also Truma. Now later on, we're going to deal with various sources for the idea that you're not allowed to burn Truma, that you're not allowed to burn Kodshim on Yom Tov. So we'll see over there whether we can also make that apply to Truma as well. Rabba over here and Abaya, who's following him, who says that, who gives a different reason, doesn't necessarily have to hold that. They can agree, as we're going to learn later on in the Gemara, that you're not allowed to burn Kodshim on Yom Tov based on various Tzukim, as well as we'll discuss later on, but they can still say that only applies to Kodshim, it doesn't necessarily apply to Truma. But Rav Chista says it does apply to Truma as well. Therefore, our Mishnah means specifically, when Yom Tov comes out on Erev Shabbos, then you're not allowed to use Shemen Sreifa. Actually, the Tosfos Rid learns that he says that, I mean, it's a bit of a difficult to say every other thing in our Mishnah refers to every other Shabbos, and only over here, only when it comes to Shemen Sreifa, are we going to say that it refers to specifically Yom Tov that comes down on Erev Shabbos. But he learns that actually the Gemara means to say that once it's also on Erev Shabbos, which comes out on Yom Tov, because it would be burning Truma on Yom Tov, and you're not allowed to do that, then already the Chacham extended it by Exera to every Erev Shabbos to every other Erev Shabbos, so you don't confuse them, so you don't come to do it on an Erev Shabbos which comes out on Erev Yom Tov. Most of the other Rishonim don't learn that way though. Okay. The question is, Bahamid Katani Sefer Ein Madlikin B'Shem and Sefer B'Yom Tov. What do you mean that our Mishnah is talking about when Yom Tov comes out on Erev Shabbos? The next Mishnah on Chavdalad Amad Beis says that you're not allowed to use shem and sefer for candles for Yom Tov, miklal the reisha la b'Yom Tov askinan, implying that there's two different dinim. The reisha on Mishnah is not talking about Yom Tov, and then the sefer, the next Mishnah is. So what do you mean that on Mishnah also means on Yom Tov? So Rav Chanina Mistura says, you're right. What it means is, you shouldn't think it's two different dinim. The second Mishnah is giving a reason, according to Rav Chista, for the first reason. Ma tam ein mavlikim shem and sreif of Yom Tov. Why is it that you're not allowed to use shem and sreif on Yom Tov? Lefisha ein sof and kodshim Yom Tov. Because you're not allowed to burn kodshim on Yom Tov. So the second Mishnah is just clarifying the first one. When the first Mishnah said that you're not allowed to use shem and sreif, so we wouldn't understand why. The next Mishnah tells us you're not allowed to burn shem and sreif on Yom Tov. Now we understand. Oh, that's the reason. Because you're not allowed to burn truma tome on Yom Tov. Therefore, the Chachamim said that, therefore, in our Mishnah, the Chachamim put it among the list of oils that you're not allowed to use. And again, according to everybody else, that would mean only according to all the other Rishonim's understanding of Rav Chista, that would mean only when Yom Tov, in fact, does come out on Erev Shabbos. According to the Tosfos Reed, it would mean even every other Erev Yom Tov as well because of the Gzeira.
And so, Kachim Yom Tov. What does that mean exactly? You're not allowed to burn kodashim on Yom Tov?
It means exactly what it sounds like. We're going to learn later on Chafdalot on the day. We'll get to the beginning of it today, Be'ez Hashem, and then continue it tomorrow, that when kodashim become posel or tomei or what happens, when they become tomei, let's say, you're not allowed to burn them on Yom Tov. We're going to learn later on from various psukim how we see that. But yes, there is that general concept. Everybody does agree to that concept, that you're not allowed to burn kodshim that became posel or tamei or whatever on Yom Tov. Rav Chista is saying that applies to truma as well.
But on Shabbos you can, implying?
No, of course not. Of course on Shabbos you can't. On Shabbos you can't burn anything.
No. The kodshim in the Beis Hamikdash.
No. 1 second. When we're talking about burning the pieces of the korban on the Mizbeach, that you're allowed to do even on Shabbos. But we're talking about if they became tomei, you're not burning them on the Mizbeach. I mean, okay, Molul or Yod, fine. If they go up onto the Mizbeach, they don't take them down. But we're not dealing with that. We're talking about
regular
case where Kodshim become posel, and you're burning them wherever it is, in the Azorah or on the Harabayas or in Yerushalayim, depending where they became tomei and what kind of tomei it is, etc. So the point is, that kind of burning you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. You have to leave the meat until after Yom Tov and then burn it.
And on Shabbos you can?
On Shabbos you can't, of course not, but there's no chiddush in that. There's no chiddush in that because it's not part of the avodah of the korban. The chiddush is that on Yom Tov, even though you're allowed to burn other things, you're not allowed to burn kodshim that became tamei.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. The Gemara says Tanya Kavasei de Rav Chista. We learn a braisa like what Rav Chista is saying. Kol eilu she'omru ein madlikim ben Shabbos madlikim ben Yom Tov. All these oils and wicks that we said you're not allowed to use for Shabbos candles, you're allowed to use for Yom Tov. You're allowed to use for Yom Tov candles. Chutz v'shem and sreifa, except for shem and sreifa, l'fisha in sof and kodshim b'Yom Tov. And the reason is because, as we said, because you're not allowed to burn kodshim on Yom Tov. So that supports what Rav Chista is saying, that the reason for our Mishnah is that you're not allowed to burn that you're not allowed to burn truma tmeya on Yom Tov. Now, Tosfos points out that you're saying that Braisa supports Rav Chista because it mentions his reason, but on the other hand, the fact of the matter is, according to Rav Chista, you would be allowed to use Shem and Sreifa on a regular, according to most of Rishonim anyway, you would be allowed to use it on most regular Erev Shabbos, just not on an Erev Shabbos that comes out Erev Yom Tov. So Tosfos asks the question, in that case, the Braisa is not supporting Rav Chista. If you look carefully at the Braisa and you see that it's saying that all these things you're not allowed to use on a regular Erev Shabbos, then it seems to contradict Rav Chista. So Tosfos says, right, what the Braisa would be, Rav Chista would say that the Braisa means like this. Any kind of oil that you're not allowed to use with on Shabbos, you are generally allowed to use on Yom Tov with the exception of Shem and Sreifa. All the ones that you are allowed to use on Shabbos, though, the implication is all the ones that you are allowed to use on Shabbos, you are allowed to use on Yom Tov, except for Shem and Sreifa. So in other words, that would be the implication of the Braisa. Not to say that it's implying that all the ones you can't use on Shabbos, you can't use on Yom Tov either. And, or not to say, your question was, Tosfos says, that you're saying that you're saying that all the ones that you can use, that you can't use on Shabbos, you could use on Yom Tov with the exception of Shemen Sreifa. No, actually, what it means is the Braisa is implying most of them you could in fact use on Yom Tov, but Shemen Sreifa is the other way around. You're allowed to use it for Shabbos, but you're not allowed to use it for Yom Tov. That would be the implication of the Braisa. Again, according to the Riyadh, it's not a question in the first place, because he learns that once Rav Chista says it's also on an Erev Shabbos, which is Yom Tov, then he would say because of the Gzeira, it's also on Yom Tov, and it's also on Friday in general.
Okay.
Anyway, the point is we have a Braisa that supports Rav Chista's understanding of our Mishnah, and in fact, later on, when we learn the next Mishnah on Chav Dalet Amid Beis, the Gemara is just going to take it flat out that the reason is because it ain't Sof and Kodshim Yomtiv, which was Rav Chista's reason, not Rabba's reason, of Zeder Shem Yomtiv.
Okay.
Now let's get back to Dinim of Chanukah. So Tosfos wonders, why is the Gemara doing that? Why is the Gemara stop, and why is the Gemara stop with Chanukah, deal with another case of our Mishnah, of Shemin Sreifa, and then now it's continuing with the Dinim of Chanukah? So the Rashba explains like this. We had before, at the beginning of the Sugya of Chanukah, we had a three-way machlokas whether the oils and wicks that it mentions in our Mishnah, the ones that you can't use for Shabbos, or you're allowed to use them on Yom Tov. And we said that Rav had said, and the halacha is like him, that you're allowed to use them on Chanukah, you're allowed to use them for the Chanukah light, whether Chanukah comes out on, whether it's the Shabbos Chanukah or whether it's the weekdays during Chanukah. So the point is, though, Rabbah would say that no, given that Shemen Sreifa, the reason why you're not allowed to use it on any Erev Shabbos, according to him, is because you may tilt the lamp on Shabbos in order to make it burn faster, then he would say actually that does apply to Chanukah as well. Rabbah would say that the point of not using Shemen Sreifa applies not only for Shabbos candles every Erev Shabbos, according to him, but also for Chanukah candles when on the Friday night of Chanukah. For the same reason, because even though the other oils and wicks, no problem, you can't use the light of the menorah anyway, so therefore there's no problem that you might tilt it. But when it comes to Shemen Sreifa, given that you have a mitzvah to burn it, you might tilt it in order to make it burn faster. So therefore, the Rashba says it is actually directly connected with the sugya of Chanukah. This is part about Shemen Sreifa, according to Rabbi's explanation.
Okay.
So now let's get back to Chanukah. Now we're going to deal with the dinim of saying ala nisim on Chanukah. We said on Chaf Aleph Amid Beis that when the Chachamim established the Yom Tov of Chanukah, the year after the next Chanukah, we said they made 8 days the Hallel V'Hoydah, where every day you say Hallel and every day you praise Hashem. So therefore, that implies saying Yalav Yavoi. So now let's talk about the dinim of that. We had a question. Do we have to mention anything about Chanukah in benching? So in Shemoneh Esrei, Rashi says it's obvious because we say that you have to have Hojah, and therefore, obviously, that would mean that you have to mention it in Shemoneh Esrei. But the question is about benching. Tosfos says a little differently. The difference is that Tefillah takes place with Tzibur, so therefore, obviously, you have to say Ala Nisim because of Pursumei Nisa, but when you're benching privately at home, there's not necessarily any Pursumei Nisa in saying Ala Nisim, so do you need to? So the question is, given that the whole Yom Tov is only Dirabbanan, Loi Matkirinan, maybe we don't have to mention Chanukah in benching. It's one thing, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, whatever, which are all Doraita, you do, we say Yalav Yavai, or Yalav Yavai for them. But maybe Chanukah is different because it's only Dirabbanan. Or maybe we do have to say it because of Pursumei Nisa. Even though, again, especially according to Tosfos, it's benching and it's a private thing, nevertheless, maybe it's still a matter of Pursumei Nisa that you yourself should remember the Nes, and therefore you should mention it. So what do you do? Amar Rava, Amar of Schoira, Amar Rav Huna, Einei Mazkir. So Rava says in the name of Rav Schoira, who says in the name of Huna, Einei Mazkir. You don't have to mention Chanukah in benching, so you don't have to say Al-Nisim. The Bola Hazgir, if you do want to, Mazgir B'Hadar, then the proper place to do it is in the Bracha of Hadar, the Bracha Noy Delacha. So not like when it comes to not like when it comes to Ritzei and Yalav Yavoi, where we say those in the bracha of Bona Yerushalayim. But over here, when it comes to Alam Nisim, you say it in the bracha of Hadar, because it is a matter of Hadar. So Alam Nisim is written as a Hadar. It's written in the format of thanking Hashem for what happened in the past, Alam Nisim, Balag Vores, etc. She'al Siso Labes David, by Yom Mehem Bizman Azeh. And then we continue with telling of the history of what actually happened. So it's formulated as a Hadar, Tosfos says. It's formulated as a thanks to Hashem. Therefore, we put it in the bracha of Hadar. As opposed to, we're going to say soon, when it comes to Yalav Yavoi, which is formulated as a tefillah, it's formulated as a request of Hashem. There should come, there should rise up, etc., all remembrance before you. Remember us, Hashem, for Zechreinu Hashem, Elokeinu Bo'le Tova, etc. And therefore, it's not a format of Hadar. Therefore, you put it in Bonei Barachim of Yerushalayim. Continues the Gemara. Rav Huna bar Yehuda equal a Bei Rava. Rav Huna bar Yehuda one time visited Rava's house during Hanukkah. Saval ikurim boni Yerushalayim. Rav Huna bar Yehuda, when it came to benching, thought to say Alam Nisim in the bracha boni Yerushalayim, the same place where we would put in Ritzei or Yalav Yavoi. Amalahu Rav Sheshes, but Rav Sheshes tells them no. Kitfila, you do it just like you do in Shemana Esrei. Ma tfila b'hadar. Where do you say Alam Nisim in Shemana Esrei? You say it in the bracha of Hadar, in the bracha of Moedim. The same thing. After Kazamazin b'hadar, the same thing. If you're going to say Alam Nisim in benching, then you say it in the bracha of Hadar. Because again, it's formulated as a Hadar, because the whole point of Hanukkah, the whole point, Rashi says, because the whole point of Hanukkah is, as we said, it was meant for Halal and Hadar. Therefore, the appropriate time to say anything having to do with Hanukkah is in the bracha of Hadar. And again, Tosfos says, actually, Alam Nisim was written in the format of a Hadar. It was not written in the form of a tefillah. There's no tefillah in there, just like you did Nisim for them, so you should do Nisim for us. Actually, it's interesting that Amma Mezirsa of Alam Nisim does have that. But Amma Mezirsa of Alam Nisim does finish with that. Just like you did Nisim for them at that time, so you should do Nisim for us. And then continue. But even the Rambam would agree that most of it is formulated as a Hadar.
Okay.
So that's the answer. So that's the answer. When it comes to benching, you don't have to say Alam Nisim, but if you're going to, then you say it in the bracha of Hadar. So this is why we have that. So we do say it over there, but this is why we have, because the Gemara is saying that you don't have to say it. Therefore, if you miss it, you don't have to go back to that part of benching or start benching over. However, there is, it mentions in Shulchan Aruch, and then we have the minhag that if you remember doing the harachmon, then you say over there harachma before mimorim, or you say harachmon or rashi after mimorim at the same place where you say the various harachmon for Shabbos and Yom Tov. You say harachmon who yasal on a nisim k'mar shas olam seinu by yom mehem bizman hazeh, and continue with the rest of the nosach.
Okay.
So now that we mention that point, now the Gemara asks a similar question. Now let's ask the question, do you have to say Yalav Yavoi in benching? Now, what's the point of the question? Now you could say that maybe, as we said, by Chanukah, since it's only Dirabbanan, you don't need to say anything. Okay, but Rosh Chodesh Daraisa, Tzarech. On the other hand, Rosh Chodesh exists on a Daraisa level, therefore maybe you should have to say it. Or maybe the difference is that Rosh Chodesh, you're not also to do Malacha, so therefore, Loi Matzurin, and maybe therefore we're not required to say Yalav Yavoi in benching. Maybe we're only required to say it when you have a Yom Tov, which is also with doing Malacha, but Rosh Chodesh is not, so maybe you're not required to. So what is it? Rav Oma Maski, Rav Chanina Oma Eni Maski. Rav says you do have to say Yalav Yavoi, and Rav Chanina says that you don't have to. And here, by the way, when it comes to Yalav Yavoi, you do say it in the Baruch HaBodi Yerushalayim. Tosfos gives two reasons. Number one, because it is formulated as a request. Like we said, Yalav Yavoi, Zechreinu Hashem Elokeinu, etc. So it's formulated as a request. Therefore, it belongs in the bracha of the request of burning Yerushalayim, where we ask Hashem to rebuild Yerushalayim, unlike the two previous brachas before that are about thanking Hashem for the gift, for the food, and for the gift of Eretz Yisrael and so forth. The third bracha is asking Hashem, Rachem Hashem Alekeinu Al Yisrael Abecha. So therefore, something that where we're asking Hashem belongs in there, namely Yalav Yavai. Also, Torah says, because Yalav Yavai is also a tefillah, we have in it that Mashiach should come, etc. So therefore, it belongs in the bracha, Bodhi Yerushalayim, which is where we're asking Hashem to restore the Beit Mikdash. For the same reason in davening, as the Gemara is going to say, we put it in the bracha Ritzei. Rashi says, for the same reason, because Ritzei is asking Hashem to rebuild the Beit Mikdash and start accepting our Korbanos again. And therefore, Yalav Yavai, which is on the same theme of asking for Rachmanos for the Jewish people and sending us Mashiach, belongs in the same bracha. Okay, so anyway, so Rav is saying that you do have to say Yalav Yavai in benching on Rosh Chodesh, and Rosh Chodesh says you don't have to. Amr of Zirika, so who do we follow? So Rav Zirika says, hold on in your hand to what Rav is saying. In other words, follow what Rav is saying, that you do have to say Yalav Yavai in benching on Rosh Chodesh, because we see that Rav Oshia follows him and says the same thing. He says that you do have to say Yalav Yavai in benching on Rosh Chodesh. The Tani of Oshia, because Rav Oshia taught a braisa as follows. Here are the general rules. Yomim sheyesh ben korban musaf, days on which you bring a korban musaf, kigon Rosh Chodesh or Rosh Hashanah, maybe it says over here. I don't know, in my Gemara it looks like a hay, but whatever. But Pashas, he means Rosh Chodesh. V'cholei shamoyed and chalamoyed. So those days are not also to do malacha, but you do bring a korban musaf on them in the Beit Mikdash. Then the rule is like this. I was the shachris and mincha mispalishman asrei. So for the three regular tefillos of the day, ma'ariv and shachris and mincha, you daven regular shmona asrei of 18 brachas, so nowadays 19. And you say something, or you say the tefillah appropriate to the occasion in the bracha avoida, in the bracha ritzei. So you say Yalav Yavai in ritzei. And again, Rashi says, because Yalav Yavai is asking Hashem for Rachmanis on the Jewish people and for Yerushalayim, and that way it's appropriate in the bracha of ritzei, which is also on that theme. The Imloy Omer Machzirinai, sorry, and Rav Oshia's Braisa continues, if he didn't say Yalav Yavai on Rosh Chodesh or on Chalamoyed in the bracha of ritzei, Machzirinai, so we make him go back. Basically, if he hasn't finished Shemoneh Esrei yet, then he returns to the bracha Ritzei. And if he finished Shemoneh Esrei, then he has to daven over again. We learned in brachas there is an exception to that. We learned in brachas that on the night of Rosh Chodesh you don't need to go back. Because the night they couldn't be mekadesh the Chodesh anyway, and therefore in that sense the night is like so to speak not really full fledged Rosh Chodesh yet. The Ein Ben Kedusha Al HaKoyis continues Rav Oshia. You don't say Kiddush on a cup of wine on Rosh Chodesh or on Chol HaMoed, unless they come out on Shabbos, of course. The Yesh Behen Askar of Birkas HaMazon. And here's the key point. Why we're bringing this in. You do have to say Yalav Yavai on them in Birkas HaMazon. So there we go. That's what Rav had said. Continues Rav Oshia's Braisa. Yomim She'ein Behen Korban Musaf. Days on which there is no Korban Musaf, but there is something special about them. To go in Sheni Vachamishi, for example, Monday and Thursday, the Taniya to Ma'amodos, and fast days and days of Ma'amodos. The Ma'amodos, as we know, are the days when for each individual group of Jews, you had a week when they're the representatives of the Jewish people for the Korbanos that are being brought in the Beit Mikdash. So the ones that are in Yerushalayim would actually go to the Beit Mikdash and watch as the Korbanos are being brought, and they would represent the Jewish people in it. The people who live out of town and can't make it to Yerushalayim in time would have a whole special seder of fasts and tefillos that they would say on behalf of the Jewish people. The Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara in the Sefer Tainus talk about the Dinim about it. Anyway, so on Monday and Thursday, and Taniya and Ma'amodos, and the Gemara interjects Sheni v'Chamishi Maya Avintayu. What do you mean Mondays and Thursdays? What's special about Mondays and Thursdays on a regular week that we should even think that you say anything different in davening about them? Okay, you say extra tachnun or whatever, but not say something different in Shemoneh Esrei. Ella, you're right. The Gemara says you're right. It doesn't mean a separate thing. It means Sheni v'Heyu Beis Shel Taniya. It means the Mondays and Thursdays on which they have fast days, meaning also as it's described in the Mishnah, in the Sefer Titus over there, if you have, for example, there's no rain, or there's a plague, or there's various other things for which the Chachamim declare a series of fasts, those fasts are usually on Monday, Thursday, and Monday. So on such days of fast that are usually on Mondays and Thursdays for rain or for other troubles that the Jewish people are having, as well as Umam Modes, as well as the entire week of Umam Modes for each individual Mamad. So on those, Arbis for Shachos and Mincha Mispalos Shmoneh Esrei, for those in Maariv and Shachos and Mincha, you say Shmoneh Esrei, the Oymam Me'ena Ma'odah V'Shemeh Tefillah. On those days, you say something appropriate to the occasion in the bracha of Shemeh Tefillah, namely Anenu. So you say Anenu, so the way the Gemara is saying it over here is that on fast days, you say Anenu in all three tefillahs. Now, what does that mean? Now, most fast days, the fact is you're not yet fasting by night. For example, most fast days for rain, or for that matter, the fixed fast days that we have throughout the year, like Asara B'Tevis and so forth, the fact is you're allowed to eat the night before. It's only Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur you're not, and certain of the fasts for rain that you're not. Nevertheless, Rashi says, once you're into the day when you're going to be fasting, you could still be saying Anenu. And in fact, the Yemenites have the minhag until Adar Yom Hazeh that they do that on a fast day. On a fast day, they say Anenu on Maariv on the night before the fast. However, Rashi and Tosfos both mention over here something that the Gaonim say, which is that you shouldn't do that. Don't do it by the night before the fast, and also not by Shachris of the fast, because what might end up happening, you might end up having to eat. And we say in Anenu, B'yom Tzoyim Tani Senu, Hashem answer us on the day of our fast. And if it turns out that you don't end up fasting the whole thing, then it would be, in effect, lying. We see saying a lie in a tefillah that it's the day of our fast when he's not really fasting. So therefore, the Gaonim said that you shouldn't say Anenu by Maariv before the fast, or Shachris of the fast, only by Mincha. And that's what our Minhag is. The Sfardim actually have the minhag; they do say it by Shachris as well. So we only so you have three different minhagim. The Taimonim say it by all the tefillahs. The Sfardim say it by Shachris and Mincha, and we Ashkenazim say it only by Mincha, because by Mincha time already Mincha is late enough in the day that you're likely to finish the whole fast. On the other hand, when it comes to the Chazan does say it, and he actually says it in the bracha. He says it between Re'ena Ban Yenu and Refa'enu. He says it by Shachris as well, because there's not really a problem with that, because somebody in the tzibur is going to finish the fast. Even if the Chazan himself, for whatever reason, ends up breaking the fast, somebody in the tzibur will finish it, and therefore it's not saying a lie. Anyway, but all Gemara is taking the approach that you say it by all the tefillahs. Going back to the Gemara, the Imloy Omar Ein Machzirnoi. So if you didn't say Anenu in Shmakelenu on one of these fast days, then you don't go back. The Ein Ben Gushal Akros, you don't say Kiddush on a cup of wine on them. The Ein Ben Askor Birkas Hamozen, and you don't say anything about them in Birkas Hamozen. So we see clearly from this Braisa, therefore, that on a day when there is Musaf, name including Rosh Chodesh, then you do have to say Yalav Yava invention. So that's when we have the machlokas of Rav and Rav Chanina. Do you have to? Then the halacha is like Rav that yes, you do need to. On the other hand, we learned in Brachos that when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, if you forget to say Yalav Yava invention on Rosh Chodesh, you do not have to. If you remember before you started the next bracha, then you say the formula that says over there in the siddur, Baruch Ata Hashem V'Kenim Malach Olam Shemalchim Rasha Kadoshim La'Amo Yisrael, etc. But if you didn't remember after that, and you started the next bracha, you don't go back, because post can say because Rosh Chodesh you're not required to eat, so you can't fast on Rosh Chodesh, but rather you're not required to eat bread on Rosh Chodesh per se. You're entitled, if you want it on Rosh Chodesh, to just make a meal of fruit or whatever. So therefore, we can't say that. So unlike Yom Tov, where you're obligated to make a meal including bread, and therefore missing Yalav Yavah is something significant, Rosh Chodesh is not like that. Therefore, you don't have to go back and repeat benching. But you do have to say it to begin with. And again, if you missed it, then you remember it before the next bracha, then you say the Baruch Asher Nosan, the Baruch Atah Hashem Asher Nosan, etc.
Okay.
Ivoyimu. Now we have another question. Ma'ula has Gosho Chanukah B'Mustafin. Now, we established that you have to say Yal V'Yavoy in Shmin Esrei, on Chanukah. And we established that as far as benching, you don't have to, but if you want to, you say it in the bracha of Noydalacha. What about Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh during Chanukah? Do you have to say Yal V'Yavoy in Musa? On the one hand, you could say Kivin Delesve Musa for the day. On the one hand, you could say that the fact is you don't say Musa every day of Chanukah. So Chanukah intrinsically is not a Yom Tov that requires Musa. Therefore, Loy Matkirin, and therefore maybe we're not obligated to mention Chanukah in Musa on Shabbos Chanukah or Rosh Chodesh during Chanukah, because it's not a day that, because the only reason you're saying Musa is because of Shabbos or because of Rosh Chodesh. It has nothing to do with Chanukah. Well, maybe we say, look, the same way as every other day you're required to say three tefillos, and you have to say alanisim in each one of them in Shmoneh Esrei, maybe by the same token on Shabbos and on Rosh Chodesh, you're obligated on that day to say four tefillos. So maybe therefore, once you're obligated, that once the day itself requires four tefillos, then every one of them you have to mention Chanukah and you have to say alanisim. Not Yalla Yalla, Yalla Nisim. So what is it? Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda da'amit havayu einin maskir. Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda both say you don't say Yalla Nisim in Musaf during Hanukkah. Rav Nachman and Rav Yechanan da'amit havayu maskir. On the other hand, Rav Nachman and Rav Yechanan both say you do say it. Amar Abaye Rav Yosef. So Abaye points out, Rav Yosef, Hodr, Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Dirabu. Actually, this that we quoted Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda as saying that you don't say Alamithim in Musaf on Shabbos Chanukah or Rosh Chodesh during Chanukah, that is actually the same thing as Rav Gidol was saying. It's actually the same thing as Rav is saying, says Abaye. Dirabu, this actually is not something independent that Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda came up with themselves. It's actually based on something that they learned from Rav. Ge'omer of Gidol Omer Rav, Rosh Chodesh Shechalias B'Shabbos, if Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbos, Hamaskir B'Novi B'Shabbos, when you say Naf Torah on that Shabbos, and at the end you have the bracha, Allah Torah, Allah Avodah, Allah Nevi'im, etc., and at the end of it you finish off Baruch Atah Hashem, so what do you finish on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh? Do you finish off Mekadesh HaShabbos, or do you say Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Rosh HaKadoshim? So Rav Gidol says, Ein Tzorech L'Hazkir Shor Rosh Chodesh, you do not have to mention Rosh Chodesh in that bracha, so you just finish off Mekadesh HaShabbos, She'omol Shabbos Ein Novi B'Rosh Chodesh, because after all, you don't, in and of itself, you don't say HaTorah on Rosh Chodesh. You do have Kriyas HaTorah on Rosh Chodesh, but you don't say HaTorah on Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, the fact that you're saying HaTorah has nothing to do with Rosh Chodesh. It has to do strictly with Shabbos. Therefore, there's no reason to mention Rosh Chodesh in that bracha. So therefore, by the same token, over here, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda would say, yes, you do have to daven Musaf on Shabbos and on Rosh Chodesh, but you're not davening Musaf because of Chanukah. On Chanukah, in and of itself, you wouldn't be davening Musaf at all. Therefore, there's no need to say Therefore, there's no reason to say Alanisim in Shemoneh Esrei on those days. So we see, in other words, Abaye is saying it amounts to the same thing. The Gemara says, though, me dummy. How do you think it's comparable? It's not really the same thing at all. When it comes to Rav Gidol's din, the fact is you don't say any Haftorah on Rosh Chodesh at all, on any of the tefillahs. Whenever you're laying on Rosh Chodesh, you never say Haftorah. On the other hand, over here, the fact is, even on Shabbos Chanukah, you do say our mitzvah in the other tefillahs, and Ma'ariv and in Shacharis and in Mincha. So it's not the same thing to say that you shouldn't say it during Musaf as well. Rather, if we're going to compare, what can we compare Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda's din, we can compare it to the following din, a different din. The Omer of Achaboy, Omer of Masna, Omer Rav, Yom Tov Shechal Lias B'Shabbos, that if Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos, hamaskir b'navi b'mincha b'shabbos. So now what happens is, you have kriyas haTorah in the morning, but you also have, because it's Shabbos, you're also learning in the afternoon. You're learning the beginning of the next week's parasha, as we do. But you have, we're mentioning over here, that an idea that you would say a maftir from Navi in Mincha on Shabbos. Now, we don't do that nowadays. Rashi explains that he found in a tshuva of the Gaonim, they used to have this minhag. They used to have the minhag that Shabbos afternoon, they would learn from the Torah, and then they would say our Torah from Nevi'im. But then Rashi says, at some point, while the Persians ruled over Babel, they made a gzera not to do it, and so they stopped doing it. And once they stopped it, then they never resumed the minhag, and therefore that's why we don't say Torah in Mincha and Shabbos. Tosfos says that, no, we actually have a Mishnah in the Masechet Megillah that says that you don't read a Haftorah Shabbos Mincha. So Tosfos says that, no, we're not talking about every year about a Haftorah post day from Nevi'im. Tosfos learns, based on the Gemara later on in our Masechta, that they used to have a minhag that on Shabbos afternoon they would read something from Ksuvim. So therefore, when our Gemara says Nevi'im, says Navi, then it's not using the word Nevi'im in the narrow sense of the Nevi'im part of Tanakh. It really means Ksuvim. It really means something where they would learn something of Ksuvim and they would make a bracha on it afterwards. So according to Tosfos, that's what our Gemara is talking about. The Rashba says that actually in his times, still, there were actually different minhagim on it. There were actually places in his time where they actually set out Torah Shabbos Mincha time, and then there were places where they didn't. Eventually, the minhag developed, and nowadays it's universal that there's no Haftorah by Mincha on Shabbos, and there's none of the Ksuvim on Shabbos Mincha either. Anyway, but in the times of the Gemara, they still had it. So again, if Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos, and you're laning on Shabbos, and you're also doing the Haftorah, or according to Tosfos, the section from Ksuvim, then Ein Tzorich Lahazkir Shel Yom Tov, you do not mention Yom Tov in the bracha at the end, for the same reason, Shel Molei Shabbos Ein Navi B'Mincha B'Yom Tov, because the only reason why you're now reading from Nevi'im, or Ksuvim, is because it's Shabbos, not because it's Yom Tov, therefore there's no reason to mention Yom Tov in the bracha. So we see that even though in the morning, you are mentioning Yom Tov in the bracha, we do finish off Ala Torah of Ala Avodah. We do say when Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos, Mekadesh HaShabbos Yisrael Vazmanim. Nevertheless, by Mincha we don't. So we see the same thing. Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda can be saying in a similar vein that when it comes to Ala Nisim on Hanukkah, we would say it in Ma'ariv and in Shachris and in Mincha, but not in Musaf, if it's a day when you daven in Musaf. Okay. However, the Gemara says, the less Hilchos HaKachol HaNishmaita, the Halacha is actually not like any of these statements. The Halacha is not like any of these statements. So Rashi says it means the Gemara is saying not like anybody that we said so far, not Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, and not Rav Gidol's being not Rav Gidol's din about Rosh Chodesh that comes out on Shabbos, and not Rav Achabo's din about Yom Tov that comes out on Shabbos. In all of those things, we don't hold like them that when you have two things coming together, for example, Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos, or Hanukkah and Rosh Chodesh, or whatever, that you shouldn't say the thing that applies to that day, even if it doesn't necessarily apply by that tefillah. The halacha is not like any of them. Rather, the halacha is like what Rabbi Shulman Levi says, which is, when Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, when you're davening Ne'ilah, you have to mention Shabbos in Ne'ilah, just like you do in all the other tefillahs of Yom Kippur. You don't usually daven Ne'ilah on Shabbos, so therefore on the face of it, Ne'ilah has nothing to do with Shabbos. Doesn't matter. Yom Hushin is Chayabar Tefillah. Nevertheless, Yom Kippur itself is a day when during the daytime of that day, you have to daven four tefillahs, Shacharis, Musaf, Mincha, and Ne'ilah. Therefore, once it's a day when it's obligated in all those tefillahs, then automatically, the same way as in the other tefillahs, you have to mention Shabbos, the same way in Ne'ilah you have to mention Shabbos, even though Ne'ilah has nothing to do with Shabbos per se. So by the same token, therefore, when it comes to Alam Nisim, in Musaf, on Shabbos Hanukkah, you would have to say it because it is a day when you're chayav to say three tefillos during the daytime, shachris, musaf, and mincha. And the same thing when it comes to, now the same thing, so Rashi learns that the Gemara is also saying the same thing when it comes to Shabbos or Shchodesh. According to Rashi, the Gemara is slogging up what the Gidol is saying and saying you would actually have to mention Rosh Chodesh in the bracha at the end of that Torah. And also Shabbos afternoon, if there is Haftorah, although we don't have, the only time when we have Haftorah in the afternoon, according to our minhag, is on Tanesim and on Yom Kippur, and those anyway, our minhag is we don't say the bracha al Haftorah of al Avodah, so there's no mentioning Shabbos or Yom Kippur or whatever in that bracha anyway, because you're not saying that bracha by mincha. But when it comes to the morning, when it comes to Shabbos or Shchodesh, Rashi is saying, the Gemara is saying, the halacha is not like Rav Gidol, and you would actually have to mention Rosh Chodesh in that bracha. Tosfos says no. Okay, we're slugging up Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda because they're contradicting what Rav Shulman Levi is saying. He's saying that you have to mention Shabbos in the Ilah. And they were saying, because even though Ne'ilah is not applicable to Shabbos per se, but it's still on that day, you have to daven those Ne'ilahs. Therefore, by the same token, you should have to say Al Nisim in Musaf on Shabbos during Hanukkah, fine. But that means, what does that have to do with what Rav Gidol is saying? Rav Gidol is saying that the fact is, On Shabbos or Shchodesh, you shouldn't have to mention Rosh Chodesh in the bracha of Navi, because on that day, on Rosh Chodesh itself, you wouldn't have any Haftorah if it weren't for Shabbos. As opposed to, as we're saying, when it comes to Ne'ilah, you have other tefillahs in which you have to mention Shabbos, and when it comes to Ne'ilah, and the same thing when it comes to Al Nisim, you have other tefillahs in which you have to say Al Nisim, so it's different. The person says, in fact, the Gemara is not slogging up Rav Gidol. And in fact, if Shabbos comes out on Rosh Chodesh, you would have to mention Rosh Chodesh in the bracha after that Torah. The other way around. You wouldn't say, Rav Gidol is saying that you, Rashi is saying that if we slog up Rav Gidol, means you would say it. Tosfos is saying, no, we're not necessarily slogging up Rav Gidol. What Rav Gidol was saying about Rosh Chodesh and Haftorah has nothing necessarily to do with what Rav Yeshua ben Levi is saying about Ne'ilah, which would also apply to Al Nisim, fine, but it wouldn't necessarily apply to Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. So you don't mention Rosh Chodesh in the bracha after the Haftorah. And Tosfos says, in fact, that's our minhag. So you have, actually, there's a machlokes rishonim over here, whether we follow Rashi or whether we follow Tosfos. The Rashba says, even if we follow Rashi, doesn't mean you finish off the bracha, the Kaddish HaShabbos Yitzor Barash HaKadoshim. It would just mean that you say Rosh Chodesh in the middle of the bracha. You would say, Ala Torah, Vala Avodah, Vala Rabim, Vala Yem HaShabbos HaZeh, Vala Yem HaShachodesh HaZeh. And then you'd continue and you'd finish off the Kaddish HaShabbos. Our minhag is that, in fact, we don't do that at all. When Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbos, we don't mention Rosh Chodesh in the bracha after Maftir at all. We after Haftorah at all. We only mention Shabbos. When it comes to Yom Tov, on the other hand, given that Yom Tov itself intrinsically needs Haftorah, then we do mention Yom Tov in the body of the bracha and at the end. We say Al Haftorah, Al Avodah, Al Nevi'im, Al Yom Shabbos Hazeh, Al Yom, whichever, Al Yom, Al Yom, Al Yom, Al Yom Tov Mikra Kodesh Hazeh, and we finish off the Kaddish Shabbos Yisro Bazmanim. Chalamoyed, by the way, is an interesting point. Chalamoyed, on the face of it, should be the same as Rosh Chodesh, because again, you don't have Haftorah on Chalamoyed per se. So therefore, on Shabbos Chalamoyed, you shouldn't be saying the Kaddish Shabbos Yisrael Bazmanim either. In practice, on Minhag, and you have different Minhagim on it, everybody agrees that Shabbos Chalamoyed Pesach you don't. There's a difference of Minhagim whether you do it Shabbos Chalamoyed Sukkot. Our minhag is that we do. Shabbos Chalamoyed Sukkot. We don't mention the Yom Tov in the body of the bracha, but we do mention it at the end. The Kaddish Shabbos Yisro Bazmanim. And the reason behind that minhag, the posts can say, is because, after all, Sukkot is different than Pesach. Every day of Sukkot is sort of like a mini Yom Tov of its own because they brought different korbanos. As opposed to Pesach, every day they brought the same korbanos. Therefore, Chalamoyed Pesach has nothing special to mention it in the bracha after the Haftorah. Okay. Anyway, returning to the Gemara, the point is, Rabbi Shimon Levi is saying the same. Is saying that that Ne'ilah, if Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, you have to mention Shabbos in the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, even though Ne'ilah is not a tefillah that has per se to do with Shabbos, but because on that day you have to daven four tefillahs during the day of Yom Kippur, and in all the other ones you have to mention Shabbos, so it is by Ne'ilah also. Now, which is what we do, of course. One interesting distinction in that, by the way, is when it comes to the paragraphs, the special paragraphs that we say in Ne'ilah, after Nosin Yod Laposhim and after Nosin Yod Laposhim. So in those, actually, we have a difference between what the individual says and what the chazan says. When an individual person says it, we mention Yom Kippur in that bracha in his quiet Shemoneh Esrei, but not Shabbos, even if it comes out on Shabbos. The chazan does mention Shabbos. The reason for that is because the yochid says it at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, after he's already said Yul HaRotzen. He says Yul HaRotzen, then he says Hashamnu, and then he says those two paragraphs. So at that point, the Shabbos, the part of davening, is over. Therefore, there's no reason to mention Shabbos. So you mention Yom Kippur, of course, because part of the tefillah of Yom Kippur, but there's no reason to mention Shabbos, because at that point, the main part of Shemoneh Esrei is over. On the other hand, the Chazan says these two paragraphs, after Yivdalta and after Noisid, he says them in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, in the middle of the fourth bracha. So it's still during the bracha when we're mentioning Shabbos, therefore he adds about Shabbos in there as well if it comes out on Shabbos. Okay. Getting back to the Gemara. So the question is, so if we're saying the halacha is that the Rishon Levi, that Ne'ilah on Shabbos, you have to mention Shabbos, the same thing then when it comes to Shemoneh Esrei, the same thing when it comes to Musaf on Shabbos Chanukah or Rosh Chodesh Chanukah, then yes, you do have to say Al Nisim in it. Okay. Because it's Kashi Hilchasa Ahilchasa. Now, we seem to have a contradiction between two things that we're saying are the halacha. Amrit Hilchasa Kedah Rishon Levi. You're telling me the halacha that Rabbi Shimon Levi that you do have to mention Shabbos in Ne'ilah when Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos. But on the other hand, the Kaimalah and Hilchot HaKirava, on the other hand, we also know the halacha is like Rava, where the Omar Rava, Yom Tov Shechali is for Shabbos, that when Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos, Shliach Tzibur HaYodah B'Fnei HaTeva Arvis, when the Chazan is saying the Bracha Me'ein Shema, when he's saying Bracha Me'in Sheva after Shemoneh Esrei on Friday night, he does not mention Yom Tov in that Bracha, so we don't finish off Mekadosh HaShabbos V'Yitzurov Azmanim. We don't mention Yom Tov in that Bracha at all. Why? For the same reason as we were discussing before, because you don't say Bracha Me'in Sheva on Yom Tov, you only say it on Shabbos, so it has nothing to do with Yom Tov. Therefore, there's no reason to mention Yom Tov in the bracha. Now, on the face of it, that contradicts what we just said about Rabbi Shimon Levi and Ne'ilah. The same way as we say there that in Ne'ilah, you have to mention Shabbos because if it weren't, even though you wouldn't be davening Ne'ilah on a regular Shabbos, but because the day that's chayav in the tefillah of Ne'ilah, therefore you have to mention Shabbos, the same thing you should say over here. It's Shabbos. You're chayav to say the bracha me'in Sheva. Therefore, we should apply the same logic and say that you have to mention Yom Tov in it. So why don't we? So you seem to have a contradiction. The answer is the Gemara says, Hochi Hashta. How are you thinking to compare the two situations? Hossam, really, over there, when it comes to the Bracha Achaz Me'en Sheva, begin who's after the B'Shabbos Nami Lo Tzorich. Really, in principle, it shouldn't be required on Shabbos as well. Because the same way as we don't have Chazorat HaShas on Ma'ariv any other time, because, as we learned in Brachas, the halacha is tefillas avos reshus, that to a certain extent, tefillas avos is optional. So, okay, all Jewish people accepted ma'ariv on themselves as choiva. Therefore, nowadays, you have to daven ma'ariv. But still, it's not a choiva to the extent that we should say that you have a chazaras hashas by it to be moiti anybody who couldn't daven ma'ariv, because you don't really have to be moiti people on something that's not a choiv. So, in principle, there shouldn't have to be a chazaras hashas, or brachachas main sheva Friday night and all, but rabbanon who takuni mishum sakana, the chachamim made the takana to say it because of sakana. What's the sakana? Rashi says like this: you have mazikin are out and about on Friday night. The Gemara mentions in another place in Tzachim, I think, that there used to be mazikin would roam around all the time, and one of the chachamim abaya, I think it is, made them that they can only come out Tuesday nights and Friday nights. So Friday night, you have mazikin around. Now, shuls in those times, we learned about this in Brachas, were not located in the city. They were usually located out in the field. So therefore, now what happens is that Rashi says the rest of the week, when people would finish their work, they would just daven ma'ariv at home. They didn't necessarily come to shul. Friday night, though, people come to shul. Now, not everybody comes to shul on time. Some people may come late, so some people may take longer to daven, and they're going to end up being left alone in shul, and they might come to sakana. Therefore, the Chachamim made a sakana of saying bracha of main sheva in order to avoid that, in order to avoid that potential sakana of leaving people alone in shul, or people are going to have to be walking home from shul from the fields into the city at night. So therefore, they made bracha of main sheva, but they didn't make it as an actual thing that you do it as a regular thing because you're required to do chazaras hashav. They did it only because of this matter of sakana. In fact, by the way, as opposed to Yom Tov, you don't have that sakana. First of all, Yom Tov is not necessarily on Friday night. So if it is on Friday night, then you say Baruch Hashem and Sheva, as you said. But if it's on a different day of the week, you don't have the problem of addition. The Altadeva points out also, you don't necessarily have people are all coming to shul because they're at home doing malachas eichol nefesh. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook, you're allowed to do certain malachas. So therefore, on Yom Tov night, not necessarily everybody comes to shul, and therefore the Chacham didn't feel the need to make a takana because it's takana for them on Yom Tov. But on Shabbos, yes.
What's the bracha me'en sheva? What kind of bracha is that?
The bracha me'en sheva is what we say after Shemana Esrei on Friday night, where the Chazan starts out, Baruch HaTashem Elokei Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov, Elokei 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 Elokei, and then everybody says Morgan Obeis, and the Chazan continues with Elokei Elokei Avoseinu. That is bracha me'en sheva, because that encapsulates in it the themes of the seven brachas of Shemana Esrei. You have it starts out with Baruch HaTashem Elokeinu Melekei Avoseinu, like the first bracha. We continue Mogin Ovis, which is like the end of that bracha, Mogin Avraham. We continue Mechaya Meisim Ma'amore, which is like bracha Mechaya Meisim. Hokei LaKodesh Shein Kamoyu, which is like Hokei LaKodesh. And for that reason, by the way, during Aseret Metzuchah, we say Melech HaKodesh. Hamaniach Le'amim B'Yem Shabbos Kodesh Kivam Rasul Aniach Le'am, etc. represents the bracha of Shabbos. So therefore, so you have the Lachon of Navid, Vir of Afachad, as we say, the Noda Lashmai B'chol Yom Tamid is Modim, Kelai Dos Adon HaSholem is the Bracha Sim Sholem. So it encapsulates in it the themes of the seven Brachas of Shemana Esrei. That's why it's called Bracha of Main Sheva.
So why did they institute this?
So that's what we're just saying in the Gemara. They instituted it because of Sakana, because Friday night everybody comes to shul. And you have the problem of mazik, and you have the problem of people are going to be left alone in shul to finish davening by themselves, and then walk home by themselves, and then they're exposed to mazikin. So therefore, the Chachamim made this thing in order to lengthen davening a little bit and give people time to finish up, and that way everybody can walk home together. So the point is, therefore, that it's not even something where the Chachamim made it, that it's an actual chiyuv of Shabbos. The only reason for it is because of mazikin. So therefore, Yom Tov, it's not applicable at all. By the way, a couple of other dinim in that connection. Number one, and this is negayah nowadays when we're davening at home, we don't say it at home because the din is you only say it in a regular shul. Given that, the reason for it, again, is because people would come to shul Friday night and then they're going to walk home, so there's a post can say that the takana was only to say it in a shul that regularly exists. So, for example, now it does bring in Shulchan Aruch that yesh ovim, that, for example, if you have a place where you have, let's say, a temporary shul for a couple of weeks, let's say, for example, you have people who are at a fair or on vacation or whatever, so they set up a place to daven for several weeks in shul, so yesh ovim that you say it's that. But nowadays, for example, when due to the current situation, we're all davening at home, then you don't say mogen ov, you don't say the first and last paragraphs at all, obviously, because only the Chazan says those, but you don't even say the middle paragraph mogen ov.
Why the Mazikim only come on Shabbos by night? Why just not on Yom Tov?
We said Tuesday night and Friday night. So the Gemara explains, and the Gemara explains elsewhere that Abaya limited them to those nights, primarily because those nights people are less around, people walk around less on those nights. The fact of the matter is, you do have that problem with Mazikin, and therefore you have the problem that you might be in danger. Actually, yes, some of the Rishonim, I think the Me'iri, says, you explain mazikim a little more prosaically. They say that mazikim can mean robbers, so therefore robbers are likely to attack Jews on Friday night when they're coming on their way home from shul, especially because they realize the Jews aren't necessarily carrying weapons. On the other hand, they don't know, the robbers don't know the schedule of the Jewish year, so they don't know when the Yom Tovim are necessarily. So therefore, there's no reason to have Brach Achas Ben Sheva on Yom Tov night.
Mm-hmm.
One more din in that connection, by the way, is that most kehillas have the minhag, and this is our minhag as well, that we don't say Brach Achas Ben Sheva if the first day of Pesach, if the first night of Pesach is on Shabbos. And the reason is because Pesach is Leil Shimurim, it's the night when Hashem specially guards us, therefore we don't have to worry about Mazikim on that night. Same principle as why we open our doors.
Okay.
Anyway, continuing the Gemara. So again, Brach Achas Ben Sheva is not really a takana for the sake of Shabbos. The Chachamim only made the takana to say it because of this problem of sakana. Therefore, we can still say that Rava can still say that even if Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos, there's no reason to mention Yom Tov in that bracha, because the fact of the matter is the bracha has nothing to do with Yom Tov at all. Aval Hacha, but over here, when it comes to Rav Yeshua ben Levi Gid about Neila, the fact is Yom Hushin is Chayev Ba'avet Tfilas. It is an actual chiyuv that the Chachamim told us that you have to daven Shachris and Mincha and Musaf and Neila on Yom Kippur, and therefore it's an actual chiyuv. It's not just Mishum Sakana. Therefore, yes, you should have to say Shabbat. You should have to mention Shabbat in each one of them if it comes out on Shabbat. So there's no contradiction. There's no contradiction between something which is an actual chiyuv versus something which the Chachamim made more because of Takana. Okay. So that's that. So that's the bottom line, is, again, to recap what we said, is that when it comes to Alam Nisim, you do say it in davening. You do also say it in benching on Chanukah and on Purim. If you missed it, you don't repeat. If you missed it, you don't repeat Shemoneh Esrei or benching. Yalav Yavo, you do say on Rosh Chodesh in benching. If you missed it, though, we said you don't have to repeat benching. And if Shabbos Chanukah or Rosh Chodesh Chanukah, you do have to say Alam Nisim in each one of the tefillahs of the day, including Musaf, even though Musaf has nothing to do with Chanukah per se.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Mishnah says, Ein madlikin b'shemen tzrei for the Yom Tov. As we said before, you're not allowed to use oil, you're not allowed to light Shabbos candles with oil that has to be burnt. You're not allowed to light Yom Tov candles with it. Again, we said that Rava's explanation would be that you're not allowed to on any Erev Shabbos, because you might come to tilt it, and once it's also on Shabbos, it's also on Yom Tov as well. Rav Chista would say that it means specifically on Erev Shabbos, which is Yom Tov, then you're not allowed to, because, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara, you're not allowed to burn kodshim that are tamei on Yom Tov. Continues the Mishnah. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Ein Madlikin Be'itron. Rabbi Shmuel says you're not allowed to light Shabbos candles with itron, which is, as we learned the other day in the Gemara, the psoilus of zephes. So zephes is pitch. It's like a tarry stuff that you get out of certain kinds of trees. You have a liquid that comes out of it, which is called itron. So Rabbi Shmuel says you're not allowed to use itron for Shabbos candles because it's covered of Shabbos, because it smells bad, and therefore you may not want to stay in the room for Shabbos. But Chachamim matirin b'chol hashmonim. But Chachamim say you're allowed to light Shabbos candles or Yom Tov candles with any kind of oil, with the exception of the ones in the first Mishnah. For example, you're allowed to use b'shemen shumshamin. You're allowed to use sesame oil. B'shemen agozim. You're allowed to use nut oil, like walnut oil. B'shemen snoinus. You're allowed to use oil from radish seeds. Most seeds, by the way, or pretty much all seeds, contain some oil, and there are some. For example, radishes, you eat a radish, you don't taste any oil in it. But if you were to grow radishes, then you have seeds, they grow from seeds. And like most seeds, they contain some oil, and you can press that oil, and you can press them and get out that oil. So you're allowed to use that. B'shemen dogim, you're also allowed to use fish oil. Rashi says it means oil from, it means fish guts that were melted down. Tosfos earlier says that not, because the we learned in the Gemara before that you're not allowed to use tirbei dogim. So we said, Tosfos learns over there that shemen dogim means oil that's produced from the fish's eye. The fish's eye, again, has oil in it, has fat in it, and you're able to process it and make oil out of it. So you're allowed to use that.
You're not allowed to use shemen from the mane of the dog?
So according to Tosfos, you wouldn't be able to, well, so I guess if we're talking about a fish that has oil in its body, like, for example, let's say salmon, I think, or some other kind of oily fish, the salmon you would be allowed to also. But shemen dogim, more generally, Rashi says it means where you take the guts of the fish and melt them down and get oil out of them, and Tosfos disagrees and says that means oil that you get from the eye of the fish. But yeah.
Does that mean you wouldn't be allowed to take oil from the gut of the fish?
According to Tosfos, not. Because according to Tosfos, the Gemara had discussed before that if you melt down the guts of the fish,
right,
maybe you would be allowed to add a little bit of oil into it and use it, but not necessarily. But we discussed in the Gemara on Chafal of Amar Aleph whether you're allowed to. We said in the end that we brought from a Bruna Amar Rav that you are allowed to. You are allowed to, once you melt them down, you're allowed to put a little bit of oil, a little bit of regular oil into them and light them, because then the oil will get drawn up into the wick and it'll draw that stuff in also, but not without oil. So according to Tosfos, our Mishnah that allows you to light it by itself can't be talking about the fish guts. It has to be talking about oil from the fish's eye. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the shemen pakuos, continuing the Chachamim, also you would be allowed to use oil from pakuos, which has oil in it. The itron, the Chachamim say you are allowed to use itron, not like Rabbi Shmuel said. Or the neft, and you're also allowed to use neft. Neft in English is called naphtha. It's a very volatile, flammable stuff that also you get by heating or distilling or whatever tar. It also smells bad, even worse than itron. Nevertheless, the Chachamim say you're allowed to use it for Shabbos candles. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Ein Madlikin Ela B'Shemen Zayis Bilvad. Rabbi Tarfon says you're only allowed to use olive oil. Now, everybody does agree that olive oil is the best thing, because as we said the other day, it burns brightest and cleanest, but Rabbi Tyson says you can only use that, and the Chachamim, as we said in the Mishnah, disagree with him. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. My timer. Why are we saying in the Mishnah that you can't use Shemen Sefa for Yom Tov candles? So the reason is, Bafishayim Sof and Kodshim Yom Tov. Because you're not allowed to burn Kodshim that became Tameh on Yom Tov, and we're assuming that the same thing applies to Truma. We assume the same thing applies to Truma as well. Although actually Tosfos discusses that it's not so simple. Maybe you should argue, you could conceivably argue that there would be a difference, and Tosfos gets into a bit of discussion of why indeed they are the same thing. Okay. Anyway, the fact is you're not allowed to burn Kodshim on Yom Tov. We assume the same thing applies to Truma, so therefore you're not allowed to burn Truma Tmei on Yom Tov. Minahani Mili, so the Gemara says, where do we know that from? Amar Chizkia, so Chizkia says, V'chein Tonad Ve'Chizkia, and we also learn in a Braisa from the Yeshiva of Chizkia, meaning Amar Chizkia means he taught it to his Talmidim as part of the Gemara. Tonad Ve'Chizkia means he actually composed a Braisa that says this. That Amakra, the Pasuk says about the Korban Pesach, V'lo says, Sidu Mimenu Ad Boker, the Pasuk says, don't leave over from the Korban Pesach until the morning, and the pasuk continues, "V'anosim imenu ad boker," and whatever is left over from it until the morning, you should burn. So she'ein tamud loyma ad boker. It didn't have to say ad boker a second time. Once it says whatever is left over, automatically we know it means the following morning. Mas tamud loyma ad boker. So what is the pasuk adding with that extra word ad boker? Bo hakosuv l'tam ad boker sheni l'shefase. Means the Torah is telling you have to burn it only the next morning. Meaning, so what is it? The Korban Pesach then, you eat it on Pesach night. It becomes noiser sometime during the night, either chasos or alos hashachar, as we learned about in Brachos, so machlokes about that. Whatever it is, you would think then that you should be able to burn it, whatever, you should be able to burn noiser during the morning on the first day of Yom Tov, or the only day of Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael. So the Pasuk is telling you, no, ad boker, you have to wait until the following morning. You have to wait until the morning of the 16th of Nisan, which is the first day of Chol HaMoed. And we see from that you can't burn Kodshim on Yom Tov. Now, Tosfos says, I mean, the fact of the matter is, it's not only because you can't burn them on Yom Tov. The implication is also you can't burn them at night anyway. But no, Tosfos says, okay, what it is Zeris HaKosov is that you're never allowed to burn Kodshim at night. Even, let's say, for example, a Shlomim, where the deadline for eating Shlomim is at the end of the day, at the end of the second day after you brought it. Even then, you can't burn it that night. You have to leave it for the next morning. So always kodshim have to be burned only during the day. Pasul kodshim always have to be burned only during the day. But if we're saying over here, the pasuk is saying you can't burn them during the day of Yom Tov, of Pesach. You have to wait until the following morning. So from that we see that you can't burn kodshim that are pasul on Yom Tov. But therefore, by the same token, you can't burn shrum mitzmeya on Yom Tov, and therefore you can't use it for your Yom Tov candle. Abaya Omer, Abaya says a different explanation. Omer Kra, because the pasuk says Ola Shabbos for Shabbat. The pasuk says the Ola of each Shabbos on its Shabbos. So we learn from that. The Loi Ola Schil the Shabbos. From that we learn that the leftover pieces of the Ola of a weekday, you can't burn on Shabbos. Meaning, in other words, for example, the Korban Tamid from Friday afternoon, if the pieces of it were not completely burnt, you can't put them on the Mizbeach to burn on Shabbos. You have to make sure that they're burnt before Shabbos. And the same thing, you're not allowed to burn the leftover pieces of an Ola of a weekday on Yom Tov. So we see by the same token that so if you're not even allowed to burn the pieces of the Korban, which are still kosher to be burnt on the Mizbeach, if you're not even allowed to burn those on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, so the same thing, all the more so than Kodshim Sulim, which are not even burned on the Mizbeach, you're not allowed to burn them on Yom Tov. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, with two more reasons why you can't burn Shum Atzmeya on Yom Tov, and then we'll get into the question of, okay, so you burn it on weekdays, but how do we know, B'chlal, that if you're burning Shum Atzmeya on weekdays, that you're allowed to have Anochmet? How do we know that you're allowed in general to burn Shum Atzmeya and have Anochmet? Maybe it should be off-limit. So we'll see in the Gemara tomorrow. We'll talk about that point.
Thank you very much. Have a good day. Thank you.
You too.